Gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast each and every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. right here on Global Star Radio Network. We're also simulcast on Blog Talk, and you can find the live shows as well as archives on our YouTube channel. We have two separate websites for our show, HagmanReport.com, where you can go for all the news and information, and HagmanandHagman.com, where you can get all the show information. And my father has been rejuvenating HomelandSecurityUS.com. So check out that site regularly as he posted a great investigative report. Sorry there, I had a mental hiccup. But we got a great show for you tonight. Joining us in this segment will be Brandon House. He's going to be joining us to talk about a few things that he has going on. His website is worldviewweekend.com. Then in the second half hour of this hour, the second segment, Eve Gonzalez from Trading Post in the Woods will be joining us. And then from 8 to 10, Russ Dizdar will be our guest. And Russ, I talked to him earlier today. He's ready to go. And it should be a fantastic show. I know we're still working on trying to get Brandon on. And I guess we can, while we're waiting for him, we can jump into some of the news and information that has been going on. Folks who've been paying attention this weekend, the story from last weekend to this weekend is the wiretapping story. Did the Obama White House issue wiretaps against Trump? And was this done legally or illegally? And what evidence is there that we know about, and is there other evidence behind the scenes that is yet to be revealed? For a good analysis on this, again, go to HomelandSecurityUS.com and read Canada Free Press. My dad's article is up on Canada Free Press, where he details what exactly is happening and what to expect. Just to give you a brief rundown, I think it was Friday, Trump, or Saturday morning, did a series of tweets about how he was being bugged, basically, from wiretaps from the Obama administration. And there's a big, the media, obviously, is instantly denying this is true, this is false, Trump is dangerous, he's mentally ill. More of the same from them. But it looks like that they are worried about something. And could it be that there were warrants? We know the FISA court warrants were issued, and the warrants were issued to spy on a server in the Trump Towers in October. And even the New York Times and many other media outlets were reporting on this. And there's been a number of former Obama associates and cabinet members who have come out and just flat out denied that there's any truth to this or that there's any precedent to a story like this. But we know that there have been a number of examples about President Obama and the Obama White House issuing, there's many victims of the wiretapping. One of the most commonly talked about and well known is the 2013 reporter scandal, where you had James Rosen of Fox News and a number of AP reporters who, under the Espionage Act of 1917, they put wiretaps on these reporters. And there are countless other examples of this, from the U.S. targeting Angela Merkel from Germany. Obama explicitly targeted the phones of the Italian ambassador to NATO and other top Italian officials for long-term interception. Folks, if you want to go through a list of these, there's a good article in the Gateway Pundit. Here's the list: more than a dozen proven victims of Obama's many wiretaps. And one of the real interesting things about this is, you can bring the timeline over here. Thank you. This is something that Mike, who was it? Levin talked about and was published on Breitbart. There's a timeline of events, of wiretapping events, and we can get through, we can go through these at some point here. Anything from Brandon yet, Eric? All right. Well, thank you, John and Eric, for working hard. We're still trying to get Brandon here. That's why you see me looking away and wondering what's going on. Sometimes when we have guests that are scheduled and we don't talk to them right before the show, sometimes things fall through the cracks, and then sometimes, you know, boom, they're here before you know it. So I don't want to get too far into this if we're going to bring him on, because I know we are going to be talking about something completely different. So I guess we can go through some of the news. I'll go through some of the headlines, and then we can get into them from there if Brandon doesn't join us. Before, yeah, the wiretapping thing, we're going to get back into that. But the one of the interesting stories that is being underreported right now that I think deserves a lot more attention is what's going on with the TSA. I don't know how many people have heard this in the news cycles in the last 24, 48 hours, but the TSA has issued or is implementing new pat-down policies. A universal comprehensive search at airports is much more invasive and intrusive than the previous pat-downs. And there's an interesting article today out of Bloomberg that the TSA is calling and informing local law enforcement that due to their new universal comprehensive pat-downs, you may see a lot of passengers calling local authorities to report sexual assaults. The U.S. Transportation Security Administration has declined to say exactly where and how employees will be touching air travelers as part of their more invasive physical pat-down procedures it recently ordered, but the agency does expect some passers to consider the examination unusual. In fact, the TSA decided to inform local police in case anyone calls to report an abnormal federal frisking. According to a memo obtained by an airport trade association obtained by Bloomberg News, the physical search for those selected to have one is what the agency described as a more comprehensive screening, replacing five separate kinds of pat-downs it previously used. The decision to alert local and airport police raises a question of just how intimate the agency's employees may get. On its website, the TSA says employees use the back of the hand for pat-down over sensitive areas of the body. In limited cases, additional screening involving a sensitive area pat-down with the front of the hand may be needed to determine that a threat does not exist. Now, security screeners will use the front of their hands on passengers in private screening areas, and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, they go on to say that that this is going to be more invasive, and the TSA screens about 2 million people daily at U.S. airports, and it does not track how many people are subject to the pat-down searches. As you know, these are or random or on some kind of count, you know, every third person that goes through the body scanners, or however they do it, will be subject to pat-down. But what's really interesting here is the fact that you have the body scanners in the airport. They're x-ray machines. And then you have these secondary pat-downs. Well, I don't remember the exact number. I believe it was 85 or 90% of weapons during test runs got through these two security features, the x-ray machines and the pat-downs. Now, my question is, if even 50% of weapons are getting through the body screening x-ray machines, what good are they? What do they do if they do not grab a majority of what they're searching for? It seems very unproductive, inefficient to continue to do this when, by their own comments, it's not enough to walk through the x-ray machines, even though they can basically see your bones. They're not detecting the weapons. So now they're rolling out these new, very intrusive pat-down procedures. And at some point, people have to ask, when is enough enough? What is going too far? And I would say even the pat-downs go too far. It's a constitutional violation. there is no probable cause. These searches are done at random. And, you know, they continue to become more intrusive. The TSA, you know, in the last, since 2009, rolled out the body scanners, increased the number of personnel they have at every airport, basically have become a branch of the Department of Homeland Security that, in my opinion, is just completely out of control. And we know that the rollback or the rollout of the Viper teams at bus stations were something that was in their future. We haven't seen too much of that, but this is cause for alarm. The TSA is saying passengers who have not previously experienced the now standardized pat-down screening may not realize that they did in fact receive the correct procedure, but they go on to say that other people will be complaining to the point of calling local law enforcement to report sexual assaults. And if the TSA can get away with groping people in the law and notifying the local law enforcement community about it, what actions, if any, will the local law enforcement offices take in dealing with claims of sexual assault? As we know, the TSA has had many instances where you have workers, employees of the TSA freaking out, using the X-ray machines to sexually exploit women and men, and being the TSA agencies being used by some for criminal activity, including sexual crimes, which is very alarming when you look at these new procedures that they're rolling out. So where will what will happen with this? Hopefully we see a lot of pushback from civil liberties unions and from people who fly on a regular basis, who will just say, I've had enough. I'm not going to subject myself to this anymore. And the only way to hit them where it hurts is to hit their pocketbooks. And we need to see more of that. And people say, well, you know, I have to work. I'm traveling for my job, or it's an emergency, or this and that. I think as long as we continue to play into their system, it will never go away. Anything yet? It's all me. All right. Well, at this point, since we're already halfway through the segment, we can just forget about it. So we'll touch base with Brandon House on another day, and we will reschedule him to come on in a future segment. We got a great week lined up this week. I don't have the new schedule here, but it's going to be a fantastic week. Again, Russ Dizdar will be joining us from 8 to 10 tonight, and he's going to talk about a lot of things. And my father, he'll be here for that interview. He's not here right now. And in the next segment, we have Eve Gonzalez from Trading Post in the Woods. She's going to come on and talk about some alternative health information and some things that are going to be needed to be heard by a lot of the preparedness community. All right, let's continue to hit some of this news. There's an interesting piece from the New York Times today. I didn't get a chance to read the whole thing. But if you want to capture the sediment of the media, the people in the media, and on the left, this definitely is it. The fake outrage from this wiretapping story, I've seen a number of news personalities, specifically news personalities, just flat outright say, you know, this is a lie. Trump, this can't be true. Trump's losing his mind. This is going to end his presidency. Even yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, Chuck Schumer was asked, and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer were asked on one of the Sunday morning talk shows, after they came out and denied that Obama or the White House could be involved in issuing a wiretap on Trump, even though we know that's already true to a great extent. Chuck Schumer went on to say that, if it's not true, Donald Trump's in huge trouble, and it's beneath the office of the presidency to call out a former president like this. And then he went on to say that if it was true, and Obama did, and the Obama White House did issue wiretaps against Trump, then it's even worse for Trump because there had to be some probable cause to issue the warrant. And I've been saying this a lot, I'm going to say it again, that the media on the left and the politicians on the left are scared, or they really are losing their mind. And the article from the New York Times that I'm referring to is Pause This Presidency. And I'm just going to read the first few paragraphs here. It says, the American people must immediately demand a cessation of all consequential actions by this president until we can be assured that Russian efforts to hack our election in a way that was clearly meant to help him and damage his opponent did not also include collusion with or a cover-up by anyone involved in the Trump campaign and now the administration. Again, they're continuing to carry this Russian hacking false story. This may sound extreme, the writer goes on to say, but if the gathered fog of suspicion should yield an actual connection, it would be one of the most egregious assaults on our democracy ever. It would not only be unprecedented, it would be profound wound to faith in our sovereignty. But anyway, this article starts out by, and this is basically the blueprint of what I've seen from the media, both on the left and right, when covering this Trump wiretapping story. They start out by talking about the Russians. Well, this president is a liar and he's illegitimate. He should not be in power. And the only reason he's the president is because of the Russian interference into the elections, even though there is no evidence of that whatsoever. What's really interesting is how the left and the media on the left have come out to throw this false Russian narrative in our face and basically talk about it as if it's true, if it's a foregone conclusion that proof was there that Trump colluded, even though there has been no proof offered except a false intelligence report that was known to be false that CNN and BuzzFeed ran with and got in some trouble for doing so. But they start leading out with this Russian narrative. And without the evidence, without any facts, they're so quick to say it is fact. Now, Trump throws something out there about wiretapping, which we know to some extent was true based on the liberal left's own reporting before the inauguration and during the after the election cycle. Even the New York Times ran a story on January 20th about the Obama White House and the administration wiretapping Trump, which yielded no evidence of any wrongdoing. But now they're from James Comey, the FBI, to Jake Tapper on CNN, are just coming out and saying, you know, Trump has some mental issue for even suggesting that this be partially true. Even though, again, we know that it is true. And how is it true? Well, let's just look at this. In June 2016... there was a FISA court request. The Obama administration filed a request with the Foreign Intelligence Service Court to monitor communications involving Donald Trump and several advisors. The request was uncharacteristically denied. That was in June 2016. And then we had in October, the Obama administration submits a new, more narrow request to the FISA court, now focused on a computer server in Trump Tower suspected of links to Russian banks. No evidence is found, but the wiretaps continue for national security reasons. The Obama administration is now monitoring an opposing presidential campaign using the high-tech surveillance powers of the Federal Intelligence Services. Again, this was in October of 2016, and it was put out there to the public. Now, another interesting piece of this puzzle is something we talked about on the show when it happened, Obama expanding the NSA sharing power, and the outgoing Obama administration expanded the power of the NSA, the National Security Agency, to share globally intercepted personal communications with the government's 16 other intelligence agencies before applying privacy protections. The new powers and reduced protections could make it easier for intelligence on private citizens to be circulated or improperly leaked. Now, that's important. So we have the FISA court requests that were issued and approved after the first ones were denied on surveilling a computer in Trump Towers. So there is a history of the wiretapping, not illegal wiretapping, but the first attempt to get a FISA warrant was denied, as the article says, uncharacteristically. And the second one was granted, which tied to a computer server in Trump Tower where they were looking for collusion between some Russian bank and Trump, which no evidence was yielded. Now, it's been a very interesting week. I believe it was last week we had the State of the Union address where even CNN said Trump was presidential. And right after that, either due to the positive feedback he got from his speech or to keep their narrative going that the president's illegitimate and that this is all, you know, one big lie, they issued the Sessions story. And that was last week where Jeff Sessions was accused of lying under oath, even though he was asked in his confirmation hearings about that fake Russian dossier on Trump, and he answered it truthfully. And we found out in his capacity as senator for the Armed Services Committee, he met with a Russian ambassador under the behest of the Obama administration, we need to add, and they turned around and tried to get him to say there was some kind of Russian collusion. And last week we saw all the stories where you know, Trump tweeted out pictures of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, and other representatives were caught lying about meeting with the Russian ambassador. Although in a, you know, in legal ways, they tried to make it seem like Trump or Jeff Sessions had, you know, met in an underground parking facility secretly with Russians, which isn't true. But they're continuing to push this Russian narrative in the news media, and it's getting to a point. It's been laughable. And my concern, and I was with Dave Hodges last night, and we talked about this a little bit, is that we're at a point where people are believing these lies in the mainstream media. Everything, just about everything, people are believing just about everything that's being said that they agree with, not doing the due diligence in researching the claims and finding out the truth of the matter, because it's not about the left or the right. It's not about, you know, Trump or Obama. The truth is first and foremost. And when people forego facts, evidence, and the truth to continue to push a narrative for an agenda, we're in a lot of trouble. Even today on Fox News, we were watching, you know, the Bob Beckel from The Five call Trump mentally insane for making these claims, even though he had to admit that there was already evidence that there were they were monitoring Trump. What they're doing is playing semantics with word games, saying that you're not going to find a warrant with Obama's name on it and Trump's name on it, which we know, you know, that would not be standard practice. It either came from the Justice Department or one of the intelligence agencies, but that doesn't negate the fact that I believe there's something here. And even people from Trump's camp have come out and said, you know, hold on, we're going to launch an investigation, and there is a lot more here than what the people know and what they have seen. And yeah, there's a story about Bob Beckel. Also, Jake Tapper of CNN did a segment today. Are you really serving the president? Tapper slams Trump advisors for enabling him on conspiracy theories. This is from the same person who told you had to get your information about the Hillary Clinton and Podesta email leaks from CNN because it was illegal for you to read them on your own. But this afternoon, CNN host Jake Tapper offered up some pointed commentary regarding President Trump's latest unproven claim that former President Obama was wiretapping his phones before the election, and Trump's habit of embracing conspiracies from the conservative media. Again, the people on the left are really, they seem to be playing defense now, which is interesting. And, you know, expect more false stories, false and sensationalist headlines that lead and go nowhere, kind of like the Jeff Sessions story. As much as they try to push that, as much as they try to say, oh, this is a real thing, and, you know, he needs to resign, there was nothing there. You see how that's died out. And one thing that is also being criticized from what Trump did this weekend is his use of Twitter, circumventing the mainstream media and just putting his allegations out there on Twitter. And I don't think it's a bad idea. Many people say it's reckless and it's, you know, beyond what the president should be doing. But when you have a news media who refuses to put things in proper context, who refuses to report very important parts of investigations and stories, I mean, they leave whole important facts and other things out, and then they turn around and take sound clips and cut them down and, again, put people out of context and misrepresent who they are and what they say. I wouldn't, you know, put my stuff out there in front of the media either. Why not continue to use a communication tool that connects you directly to the people without the interference and the spin that the media is going to put on anything he says? I mean, even Jake Tapper said that Donald Trump was spewing venom about this alleged conspiracy. And he, you know, they continue to push this narrative that this is hurting the American people. Mika Brzezinski today said that, you know, this, she's very nervous and this is a dangerous time. And her co-host, Joe Scarborough, said, you know, this is it. The president is going down. And I think my dad was more right than wrong when he said that this is only continuing to heat up and get worse. You know, I thought hopefully this would die out as after the inauguration and as we continue to move into the Trump presidency. But, I mean, the media and these people on the left and right are doubling down in their assault against our democratically elected leader, Donald Trump. When we come back, Eve Gonzalez from Trading Post in the Woods will be our guest for the next segment, followed by Russ Dizdar from 8 to 10. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced, Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
These uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to segment number two of this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We got Eve Gonzalez standing by. She is from Trading Post in the Woods, a fantastic company that's been with us for a while now. And we use her products regularly. Eve, welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, Joe and Doug. It's great to be back again. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you. I know we talked off air a little bit last week, and I know you talked with John over the weekend, and you got some stuff you want to talk about and share with us tonight.
Yeah, there's always a lot. There's so much in the news going on, and I know first and foremost, you know, we do have a petition out there, and I just really want to encourage people to go and check out the things that we have going on through our Trading Post with the petition. A lot of people don't realize the rights that they have lost with natural alternatives, and so that is something that we're really trying to bring to the forefront so that people know. You know, I don't know if you read the article about the gentleman that was just arrested in Kentucky, the Amish gentleman for doing natural alternatives, and Lisa Haven, somebody you're having on Wednesday, did a beautiful write up on it's titled something's coming and it's happening quickly, natural health providers in trouble. That came out, I think she did like February 28th, and so I'm glad you're having her on your show, but that really is something that we're dealing with. But we wanted to go ahead and just really encourage people that when you're getting prepared for a disaster, you really need to be prepared to help yourself medically. If you're not prepared, I mean, you might have the biggest guns and the most bullets, and you may have a 2-year food store, but if you don't have a way to take care of yourself medically when, you know, an epidemic breaks out, or somebody has diarrhea really bad, or you have a bad ear infection, or, you know, whatever it might be, if you cannot take care of yourself medically, what good are all the other preparations you've done? And
that's
we
exactly
need a
right.
lot of people. Huh? It is. Well, you know, if you know any hunters that have gone out into the wilderness and they've gotten a terrible case of diarrhea, which is not something you want in the wilderness, you know, their ammo and their guns aren't going to do them any good. And odds are, and after a disaster happens, if you don't know how to take care of yourself naturally, then you're going to suffer. And, you know, what are you going to do? You have to have a game plan. You have to have solutions. And that's one thing that we work really hard to educate people on. We're not just selling a product. We're part of what we offer people is the education that comes along with it, because we want you to know how to use it. And so that's very important to us. And that was one of the reasons we wanted to come back on. And I'm so grateful to, we've had just a fabulous couple of months working with quite a few of your listeners who are learning how to do it, and so they just call us and go, now what do I do? So that's part of it. You know, we're fighting for people's rights in the you know, your right to be able to know the truth about natural alternatives, as well as to purchase those natural alternatives, but also to help you learn about it, because that's something our great-grandparents knew how to do. But it's really, truly a skill we've all lost. And, you know, when you walk into somebody's home today, think about it. Think about your medicine cabinet. How many over-the-counter medications do most people have in their medicine cabinet? How many pharmaceuticals do they have in their medicine cabinet? And the problem with that is you look and go, okay, what's the difference between their medicine cabinet and our great-grandparents?
Yeah, if I can just jump in here, because you've covered a lot of ground. One, and this is going back to our conversation we had off air last week, about, you know, when people prep, they tend to focus on the water and then the food, ammunition, and the medical supplies is very important, you know, because when you think about how we live today with this, you know, the society that we can go to hospitals and we do have, you know, emergency medical care available to just about everybody who lives in this country. And then when you think of what it would be like on your own with no support system, and you think of some of the little problems that we've had or people have had throughout the years, and I'll give an example. I had a cyst, an infection on my back a few years ago, and I've had to have two surgeries since then, and the problem seemed to be rectified. But I was talking with my mother the other day, and we were talking about this very issues, and I said, you know, would I be alive without, you know, modern medicine? You know, if we didn't have hospitals, if we didn't have the medical system, how would I fix that? And she said, oh, you'd probably be dead, you know, from the infection. And that was an eye opener when we were having that conversation. But there are things we can do that are natural, that are homeopathic, that you don't need the hospital. So precautions can be taken. And the prepping movement, we talked about how a lot of people have really taken an attitude of, well, things are going to be better, and you know, I've prepped long enough, or I'm okay for right now because, you know, Donald Trump's in office, or whatever the reason. And we've seen a huge decline in people purchasing, you know, survival and you know, just regular survival products, from whether it be food, medical equipment. You just go down the list, and there's been a huge decline since the inauguration, since the election.
And that's what's very scary. I know we were talking about that, and having responded to, you know, over 18, it's 18 major disasters and just numerous ones that weren't classified as major. It is scary. I know I told you, you know, when we see the drastic halt of people getting prepared, I have never seen anything quite like it, where people really have taken the attitude of, I don't need to worry about it anymore because President Trump is going to make everything better. And I'm look at it and go, now you need to be more worried, because that means there are a whole lot less people getting prepared. But no president has ever been able to cancel, you know, a natural disaster. And from everything that I have seen firsthand in disasters, people cannot take care of themselves medically. And it's very hard as a responder to go in there and realize that there are things that they could be doing naturally, and yet I can't tell them. Okay, I cannot go in, I cannot treat, I cannot diagnose, I cannot prescribe when I'm in a disaster area. And even though I may have a solution, I cannot give it to you. You have to know it, because you are deemed not in your right state of mind. And so if I try to give you something that you would never in your normal mind use, I can be fined, or I could be thrown in jail. So, you know, when we go into a disaster area, we can't suggest, oh, you got an earache, okay, oh, you have an infection, oh, you have a wound here, do this, if you don't have any supplies. And that's all stuff you need to know ahead of time. And that's why we do the training classes, like we're going to be doing this time with experts next week. And every day I'm on the phone, and I spend a lot of time with Aikman and Aikman listeners now, trying to teach them, how do you use the homeopathic? It's so simple. And yet if you look at our great-grandparents' medical, you know, or their medicine cabinets, they had all natural. They didn't have all these pharmaceuticals. And, you know, whether it's an infection, a viral, you know, somebody's bit by a dog, you have a bad sinus infection, all these things still happen in disaster. But now you don't have a doctor. You are the doctor. Okay? When we're in a disaster area, we don't see a lot of people who have to be sutured. We don't see a lot of people who have to be casted. And that is something I know a lot of people, when they're preparing, it's a huge mistake they make, is that they're trying to buy that type of medical supply, and they buy a big kit, and they don't learn how to use any of it. So you get into a disaster setting, and now you're going to pull out a book and try to read it? That is not the time, okay? But those kids don't carry. What do you do for an infection? What do you do for an abscess? What do you do for an infected wound? There are natural alternatives, and I love homeopathy because there are no known side effects. There aren't, you know, there are historically no contraindications. And once again, I have to tell you, according to the FDA and the Federal Trade Commission, I cannot treat, diagnose, or prescribe. I can't say anything heals. I can't say anything will make you better. But I will tell you, you better learn it because you have to have a game plan.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's incredible to me that you can have, you know, commercials. We'll just give the example of the commercials for pharmaceutical products where it's not like somebody can go into a store and say, I want this drug or that drug. You have to go to a doctor and it has to be prescribed by a doctor. So why they have commercials is beyond me. And they you know, they talk about the half the commercials or more than half the commercials is reading the horrible side effects. And
well,
I laugh every time I hear one of those. But you can't talk about alternative health products because you would break some rules, right?
Well, exactly. I cannot, you know, you can't use the word headache and recommend something. You can't use the word migraine and recommend something. You can't use diabetes and recommend something or go, this is what I would use, because now you're using a medical terminology. In fact, it's getting to the point where basically all naturals, if things continue on the path they are, you're not even going to be able to know the truth about what any of them have done, because we won't be able to say anything about anything natural. I listen to those commercials, and it amazes me. After hearing all those side effects, why would you take them? You know, that's my thought. Now, take it and look at it from this standpoint. Okay, so you have an antibiotic, and you decide to stockpile all these antibiotics, and a disaster happens. And somebody takes that antibiotic, and they go into anaphylactic shock. Now what are you going to do?
Good question.
Okay? You know, and people don't think about stuff like that. And that's why it's so important to go, you know, what is there naturally? Because most people can't stockpile all kinds of antibiotics. But, you know, if something were to happen and you have natural alternatives that, and it's not hard to learn, and that's why, you know, we try to put out so much information and we really try to help educate people. But you can do this. Our great-grandparents did it all the time. What made us different? We became lazy. The pharmaceutical companies made it simple for us. And if you really want to be prepared, you need to start learning those skills our great grandparents did. And start getting stuff while you can now. 440 homeopathics have been removed from over-the-counter and are by prescription only, making it more difficult for you to be able to get the things that you want to get. And so that's an important thing. If there wasn't any validity to homeopathy, they never would have pulled it off and made it by prescription only. And for people who don't know anything about homeopathy, it actually is a drug, and it's in the United States Pharmacopoeia, and it became a drug through the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act that was passed. And so we do have a video on our website that tells people more about the history of homeopathy. But, you know, our great-grandparents and their grandparents and all those before us, they were doing all the natural. And it's something that we need to learn. If you want to be prepared, you have to know it. I've been in disaster sites where we cannot get people out to medical. And so I've had to look at people and go, you know what, I'm sorry, you're all going to suffer. But you're not going to die. That's the good news. You're not going to die. You're going to suffer. But it's going to be at least 3 days before we'll be able to get you out to medical. So good luck with that one. It's horrible. Horrible.
Yeah.
And people need to be prepared.
No, they absolutely do need to be prepared. And there are, you know, a lot of things, you know, with the internet and this expansion of knowledge, there are a lot of areas where people can, you know, do some research. And there's some very easy and basic things you can do to make sure that you're covered for certain things. I mean, you can stockpile supplies, you know, hydrogen peroxide, band-aids, gauze, tape, things like that. But there are a lot of things that are beyond some of the expertise, especially with people like you, who have a vast knowledge of alternative health and alternative health remedies. And this is something that you do with your customers, is to go through and talk to them about what it is you know and how best you can help them. Is that correct?
That's right. And that, you know, to just sell somebody something, if you don't help them to understand how to use it and the tool that they have in their hand, what service have we provided? And so to me, it's very important, because my goal is that if something were to happen, I have done everything I can to help educate and equip people to survive. Tired of dead bodies, tired of victims. I'm looking for the people who truly want to be prepared, who truly want to have solutions, who truly want to be able to help themselves and their families and their neighborhoods. And it's also a great bartering tool. So for people who are looking for a way to barter, when you have a skill and you know how to help somebody from an alternative aspect, that's a great bartering tool, because a lot of people won't know. And so that's what we're really working at, trying to help people. But it's learning how to do natural is very simple. It takes a little bit of your time, but it's not as hard as people make it out to be. There are a few basics, and once you have those basics down, then you can sit there and go, oh, I can do this and this and this, and I can do this and this and this for that problem. The more options you have in your tool chest, the better chance of survival you will have. In a dire try situation, I want as many options as possible to try to save the life of a person than to just look at a medical kit I just kind of bought and said, I've never opened it, I have no clue what I have, let me pull out a book now. And the problem is, a lot of the books are disappearing too, because along with your right to know, the truth about stuff is disappearing. In books, there are books, it's hard to find now, decent books that can tell you really, you know, what you need to do. And that's, we are going to keep on teaching people as long as we possibly can, and fighting to get changes made so that we can get these rights back. As an American, we should have the right to choose if we want pharmaceutical or alternative, and we should have the right to know the truth. The truth about what natural alternatives have done. And, you know, they've come out with now a specific guideline of what they will accept as scientific proof. And so basically everything from history is totally wiped out because it's not going to fall under the realm of scientific proof.
And that's a really sad fact. When you look at the monopoly that the medical institutions has on medicine. And we've talked about this with Dr. Fabrora and many other people. You know, so just about every single medicine, whether it's over the counter or prescription, only fights the symptoms of an underlying disease. Very rarely do you have any medicine that is offered, you know, maybe antibiotics, but, you know, most of the prescriptions and much of the over counter drugs just mask or handle symptoms of an underlying illness.
Like putting a bandage on top of a huge wound. With natural alternative, the goal is to heal the root cause so that your body heals. And you won't have to take it all your life, the rest of your life. The pharmaceutical, for most of them, you know, you start something and you're going to keep on taking it, especially if you have some sort of chronic issue. It never seems to go away. It's just more and more, and for the rest of your life, you're going to be on that drug. But natural has always gone, let's get to the root cause. Let's heal the root cause so that the body that God blessed us with, which is an amazing thing, can heal itself. So your body is constantly regenerating. Tissues are regenerating, bones, muscles, all of that regenerates. But you have to give your body what it needs to get healthy so it can do that. You know, sick cells multiply quickly and abundantly. And what the goal is, get rid of the sick cells so that the healthy ones can be the ones reproducing. So we like to encourage people, you know, homeopathy, it's just not about disaster preparedness time and having that in your medicine chest. It's about looking at your health and going, when disaster happens, I want to be in the best health possible. Well, if you're on 13 different medicines, how healthy are you heading into a disaster? And so we encourage people, start working on your health now. Start, if you're on some of those, start weaning yourself off and start going natural and heal at the root problem so that you become stronger and stronger and stronger, so you have a better chance when disaster happens to go ahead and fight off the, you know, the viruses and the bacterial infections and trauma that your body may end up going through. We all have a better chance of dealing with that over somebody who's very ill and on all sorts of medications. And then you have to look what happens when you run out of that medication. What are you going to do?
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, we only have a few minutes left with Eve Gonzalez. She is from a trading post in the woods, and I got the Simple Survival's American Heritage Remedies kit right in front of me, and each bottle in here has is something for a different ailment, from fevers to stress to congestion. And folks, go to tradingpostinthewoods.com, or if you're watching YouTube, Eric, if you put that screen back up, the graphic that we have has all of our information right there. You want to talk, we only have about 4 minutes left, 3 minutes left. Do you want to talk about the petition and what people can do to
sure, the
help
petition,
you?
If they go to our website, in fact, it's we have it up. It's a call to action. They can go ahead and they can click on that, and it will guide them. Oh, I think we also have a link on there where they can click on the link. And basically, it is to petition the White House to give us our rights back, our freedom of choice when it comes to natural alternative, to level the playing field between big pharma and natural alternative. And so they can go ahead and let their voice be heard. We do need 100,000 signatures in order for it to have to be addressed. And that's, we made sure that, you know, they have to address if it falls within a certain, you know, guidelines that they've established. We were very careful to make sure it fell within those guidelines. So we need 100,000 signatures, and then they have to address that for us. And so that is a petition that we did, just trying to help people to get your rights back. It has been just a whirlwind of loss, especially in the last year and even just a few months prior to President Obama leaving office. The rights that you lost as an American citizen in your ability to know the truth about natural alternatives, what they do, and to learn about them, and to purchase them. So they can do that. They can also sign up, you know, and keep an eye open for when we do training around the United States, trying to teach people all that we have learned out in the disaster areas, and specifically, you know, teaching you skills that you need in disaster area. And I would like to say in the, you know, we are promoting out, if you use code Hageman, you can get 15% off our Survival is Natural Remedies kit. And when you look at that, part of that price is basically you become my student. I tell people, until you understand what you have in your hands, I will work with you. And then you can always feel free to call me if you have questions. And then there is the American Heritage Natural Remedies Deluxe Kit. And that one, if they use the code PREPARE, they'll get 25% off of that. So we're doing that for your listeners to help them try to get prepared. But, you know, part of, I know somebody had called once and they said, why is your pricing so high? And I'm like, well, it's really not. But you also, please take into account, part of that is we're not just selling an item, we're teaching you as we go along, and you always have access if you have questions. We want to help you understand, but also we are fighting for your rights, and part of our overhead is, you know, we're doing this to try to get our rights back, and that it does take money, as you guys know, to be able to do that. So we keep our prices as low as we possibly can, in order to equip people with them. But we also want people to understand that we're not just selling a bottle; we're selling education that comes along with that, and a tool in the event a disaster happens. So there's a lot at our website, a lot of the free things they can go and read and learn. The petition is so important. Please sign the petition. Send letters to the White House. You may not realize all the rights you've lost, but you've lost a lot, so fight to get them back.
And Eve, we only have a few seconds in closing, but I want to ask you this. Do you think, under the Trump administration, do you expect to see any changes in what you're hoping to see with being able to talk about this stuff more openly, with being able to offer alternatives, or do you think we'll see the status quo with this administration?
If people do not step up and let their voice be heard, President Trump cannot try and fix something he doesn't know is broken. And we have to bring light to this situation. If we don't, it will not change, and it will only get worse. The Federal Trade Commission and the FDA, you have no idea the restrictions that are there and how
That's
quickly
right.
and easily it is for them to shut people down.
Eve from Trading Post in the Woods, tradingpostinthewoods.com, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We look forward to talking with you in the future.
Thank you so much. God bless you all.
God bless you too. Coming up next, Russ Dizdar. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available. Anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night, go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks, Pro Flowers, and Casper Mattress, and some of the bigger companies out there? Would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can. It's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits what we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
For a investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com.